Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We praise your name, O God, and we are grateful for your abiding love. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End on this World Communion Sunday. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently. Those of us who are here on a regular basis want to reach out to you, shake your hand, and extend our hope that you will become a part of our family of faith here. Now, one way to do that, of course, is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. There are a couple of inserts in your bulletin. You can look at those, find lots of opportunities to be involved in God's work through West End. I'm going to lift up just a few of those. First of all, our participation in Room in the Inn begins November 2nd. This is a ministry we have been a part of for many years. And if you would like to sign up to host those persons who are experiencing homelessness on a Wednesday evening to help feed, to spend the night, to provide transportation, you can do that following this service in Reed Hall. Also, next Sunday, we will be celebrating our partnership with the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya People in Guatemala, ODIHM for short. Jeff Hassel, who's the Executive Director of ODIHM Guatemala, will be here next Sunday. You'll have two opportunities to talk with him. First of all, during Sunday school in the theater, in the four-story theater, he will be available. And then at 5 p.m., there will be a potluck in McWhorter Hall. If you would like to learn more about our ministry with the indigenous Mayan people in Guatemala, or about the organization, about the mission trips we take every year, or just to meet Jeff and get to know him better, you are welcome to attend either or both of those next Sunday. Thank you for all the books you gave for the book drive for Henderson Settlement. That bookmobile is going to be well stocked. We have 25 boxes of books, which is the maximum we can take, so please don't bring any more right now. It will be a great gift to those persons who otherwise might not have access to a library in Upper East Tennessee and Eastern Kentucky that Henderson Settlement serves. Also, is your life really busy and noisy? Is your brain always buzzing with one thing or another? You have a hard time settling down? Well, as a follow-up to Gordon Pierman's mindfulness retreat in August, we are going to have on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. in Bishop's Parlor, Mary Agee, who is a teacher at University School, leading mindfulness practice. This is a follow-up to that well-attended workshop. If you were there, you might want to try these weekly times of quiet and mindfulness and meditation. If you weren't at that workshop, you still might want to try these. So we invite you to those starting this coming Wednesday at 6 p.m. in Bishop's Parlor. Another time for prayer that we are beginning to offer is a time of Lectio Divina, a holy reading of Scripture. And that takes place Tuesdays at 11 a.m. You can read more about it in your bulletin insert, but it allows you to pray the text that we will be studying during the noon hour that day that I or one of our other clergy will be preaching on the following Sunday. It's a preparation for both the study of Scripture and also participation in worship. That's at 11 a.m. each Tuesday. You can read more about it in your bulletin insert. Do you ever wish you had more faith? Well, what would you do with it if you had it? Jesus addresses that question very directly. Stick around. We'll talk about it.
Today, we gather around the world to come to God's table. Though we differ in language, custom, and tradition, for there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Together, we remember our Lord Jesus. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with God and one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your law. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you rather not say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.' This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
Well, Jesus' closest followers come to him with what seems to be a very reasonable request that a group of disciples would make to their rabbi: increase our faith. Maybe they were expecting Jesus to say, "Hey, I got a 5-point plan to increase your faith. Just do this, 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 and this, and your faith will grow." Then, of course, he would make the pitch for money. Right? But he doesn't do that. When they say increase our faith, he presents them with an absurd metaphor. He said, if you had even faith the size of the tiniest little seed, you could say to a mulberry tree, "Be planted in the sea," and it would do it. Who's ever heard of a mulberry tree being planted in the sea? What point would there be to that other than that it would be pretty sensational to watch? It would be on the 6 o'clock news on all the stations, right? So why would Jesus respond that way? Doesn't make any sense. Unless you remember that his disciples are pretty enamored with the sensational. They have been arguing about who's going to be greatest when Jesus overthrows the Romans and sets up a new reign like that of David, and who's going to hold this office and who's going to hold that office. If they had a little faith, they're likely to waste it doing crazy, sensational things, trying to impress people, trying to make this movement he started a much bigger deal in the public eye than he wanted to make it, at least at that point. Is Jesus chiding his disciples for wanting more faith? That seems a bit odd, doesn't it? Then, however, he tells them a story. And this story is classic bait and switch. And he pulls it off beautifully, as Jesus is wont to do with these stories. He says, "Which one of you, having a slave..." I wonder which one of his apostles has a slave, if any of them have slaves. Is he just saying, if someone had a slave? But he says, "Which one of you," putting them in the master role. From the very beginning of the story, hey, this is going to be a good story, because I got the lead role. I'm the master here. "Which one of you, having a slave who's worked all day in the fields, would come in, have that slave sit at table, and say to them, 'Ah, I'll fix dinner tonight. You just take it easy'?" Nobody. They know the answer to this, whether they own slaves or not. They are familiar enough with the households of masters and slaves that they know that there is not a master in the world who is going to have the slave sit and the master's going to serve them. Except, of course, for one, but we only learn that much later. He says, no, when the master sits, the slave will serve the master. And the slave will eat later. And when everything is done that can be done, you slaves will say, wait just a minute. I was a master when this story started. What am I doing being a slave now? That's the switch. You say, I can't take any credit. I was just doing what I was supposed to do. Interesting. I wonder if Jesus is actually doing what they asked him to do. I wonder if just doing what you're supposed to do is what increases your faith. How interesting. Yesterday, I was over in East Nashville, yesterday morning, at Tulip Street United Methodist Church. Tulip Street has a great long history. Some of you know that when the tornado came through a few years ago, it took out a part of that building. They replaced and redid the windows, the beautiful stained glass windows there, and it's about to close. This coming Sunday, they're going to have a homecoming, inviting people back to celebrate that long ministry, but also to get one last worship service in, one last view of those windows, one last religious gathering before it ceases to be a place of worship. I was there to help with a memorial service for the Reverend Hawkins Clark. Hawkins had attended this congregation and came out of this congregation when he entered into ministry 2 years after I was born. I met him when I was 16. I grew up in a little country church, one of four churches on a charge in Montgomery County, and one of the other members of my MYF, we were not UM then, we were just M, put my name forward at a meeting I had never attended to be the sub-district president. And to show you what poor judgment they had, they elected me sight unseen. And I didn't even know what a subdistrict was. But as a part of that, you went to meetings, of course. That's what we Methodists do. We go to meetings. And there was a young preacher serving in Waverly named Hawkins Clark. And that's when I met the man whose life I helped to celebrate yesterday. As I got to know him, he and Jerry Hilton, my pastor at the time, were the first two people ever to say to me, did you ever think you might have the gifts to serve in ordained ministry? Actually, going out after first service, someone said, hate to burst your bubble, but he said that to me as well. He probably said that to everybody, quite frankly. It's okay. It's all right. Because that's who Hawkins was. He was a constant presence of encouragement in my life, and I think in a lot of other people's lives. He's about this tall. He took his Hawkins box with him wherever he served because he had to stand on a box to see over the pulpit. He had a great smile that would just fill the room. He had a wonderful, welcoming spirit. As I did indeed follow this path into serving churches, every annual conference, he would ask me how I was doing, where I was, how I was doing. He would say he was proud of me. Ordinary things. He didn't serve large membership churches. Although Tulip Street had been a large membership church, it was not when he was there serving. But he served faithfully throughout those years, and for me and for many others was a constant presence of encouragement, constantly sharing that love of God in the best way that he could. I've heard it attributed to several people, but I first heard this attributed to Mother Teresa, who said, "We are not asked to do extraordinary things, but ordinary things with great love." I would just adapt that a little bit, because I ain't no Mother Teresa. I would say we are not called to do extraordinary things, but we are called to do ordinary things with as much love as we can muster at the time. Because our love is so far short of God's great love. But we just muster all the love that we can to do those ordinary, ordinary things, like breaking bread, sharing a meal, which we're going to do just a little bit later. Not to get praise. At the end of it, we say we're just doing what we were supposed to do, right? When I saw Hawkins last several weeks ago, the same smiling presence. He was very ill at the time, but he had a good morning that morning. He was telling me how proud he was of me. He was asking how things were going at West End, that he was sure they were going great. Always that wonderful presence. And then in the days before his death, he was offering grief counseling to his family in terms of what they would do after he was gone, telling them how much he loved them, how proud he was of each of them, and how he knew things were going to be great for them. Ordinary things with a pretty good amount of love attached. The person I shared the service with yesterday was the Reverend Joe Shelton. Known Joe for many, many years. He is officially a retired clergy member of the conference, but he is serving at Tulip Street for this time just before their closing. He was going from that service to a continuation of the service for Coach Ed Temple. He had been a student, Joe had been a student at TSU, had taken a couple of Coach Temple's courses. He said he was a great teacher in addition to being a great coach. I spoke about Coach Temple a few months back. Used to see him at Wendell Smith's when we would go there for breakfast. To look across the way and see Coach Temple, you might think, this is just somebody's grandfather, you know? Which he was. But he was also the most successful Olympic coach in women's track in history. But the thing he was proudest of was not the number of Olympic medals that his runners had won. He was proudest of the fact that every single one had graduated, and some had gone on to do additional graduate work. Ordinary things that every student does. But he knew that that was the most important thing for their lives. And apparently that got communicated to them, because Joe was telling me that when he arrived on the TSU campus, scared to death, not sure if he should be there, not sure if he was going to make it in college, he was standing there near the tiger, their mascot that was presented there, and he said, an attractive young woman came up to him and said, "You're new here, aren't you? I want to welcome you to TSU." Tried to make him feel at home, tried to put him at ease. Her name was Wilma Rudolph. She happened to come from my hometown, one of the fastest runners in the world. And yet, when it came to welcoming a new student, an ordinary thing, she knew what was important. Perhaps she knew that before she came and ran as a Tiger Bell. Or perhaps she learned that, or at least had it confirmed by Coach Ed Temple. We're gathered to do some ordinary things today. In a few minutes, we're going to break a variety of kinds of bread, and people around the world will be doing that with us. We're going to be sharing juice, and others will be sharing wine around the world in different traditions. And we're going to be telling the same story in different words, in different languages, in different places. But it's going to be a very ordinary thing, simply breaking bread. But there is no greater love communicated through any act than this act. I have a storytelling friend named Ed Stuyvesant. I met Ed back in 1979 when he was doing a shtick called Brother Ed from the Church of Partyology. He's a wonderful storyteller. He was raised in a family with one Catholic parent, one Baptist parent. He was raised Catholic. In fact, wrote a book called Raised Catholic, can you tell? Thought he might be a priest at one time, even studied for the priesthood, but that was not really his calling. He traveled around the country telling stories and for a number of years taught in Catholic schools. We were at a gathering where we were both going to be leaders of storytelling workshops. There were other folks there, dancers, mimes, jugglers, etc. And we were all kind of introducing ourselves. We were saying what it was we had been doing, where we'd been telling, where we'd been leading workshops. Ed got called away from this leadership meeting. And as he was leaving, the person convening it said, Ed, tell us what you've been doing. He said, you know, the same old thing, eating his body, drinking his blood, and he left. Now, if you didn't know Ed, you might think he was being flip or irreverent. He was being very reverent. He told us the most important thing that he had been doing with his life, eating his body and drinking his blood. It's the same old thing we all do. We do it weekly or we do it monthly, depending on our tradition. It's that ordinary thing done to communicate God's great love. So maybe it's not the sensational things that the disciples seem to be asking about. Maybe it's not a five-step program to increasing your faith. Maybe it's just doing what we're supposed to be doing. And at the end of it, saying it's no big deal. We were just doing what we were supposed to do. I'm praying that as we do what we're supposed to do today, as you come, as you receive bread, as you receive the cup, these ordinary things of life, that the great love that will be communicated through them, our small love and God's great love, will be something you can carry with you into the ordinary things that you do in the world. Because if you want to increase your faith, I think Jesus just told us how. Thanks be to God.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we are especially glad that you are here. We'd like to extend a special word of welcome to you. We hope that you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you there and answer any questions that you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall, but they'll also be at the back of the sanctuary in the narthex after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments that you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from the staff regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these are to be shared or are confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of the service. If you're a college student, you're invited to join other students for lunch after this service. You'll meet in Reed Hall. This morning, we extend our sympathy to the family and friends of Robert Dixon Norling, who we knew as Bob, who died September 24th. Services were held on Wednesday, September 28th. Among his survivors is his wife, Betty Ann Norling. Gail Douglas and her family are mourning the death of her son, Ed Douglas, who died Monday, September 26th. A memorial service will be held here today at 3 p.m. in Scales Chapel. We remember Reverend Hawkins Clark, who died on Monday, September 26th. Services were held yesterday. Among his survivors is his wife, Martha Clark. And we remember Bonnie Baker and her family, who are mourning the death of her sister, Julianne Bruce Lutz, who died Thursday, September 29th. Services will be held October 5th in Phoenix, Arizona. God has graciously given us all that we have. As people of faith, let us return our thanks through our tithes and offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the silence of the morning, a new day dawned around the world. God's people began to gather for worship amid the sounds of drums and pipes, strings or organs. And now we, too, join this worldwide chorus of those who call upon the name of the Lord on this World Communion Sunday. We remember especially that the scriptures are fulfilled as people come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at the feast of God. And so, with all your people on earth and all the saints of all times and all places, we join in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O Christ, for coming to us in a little child to live baptized in the muck of our fallen world. Embodying God's desire to bless all people, you spoke of peace to divisions and violence between people. When threatened with the terror of crucifixion, you did not keep silent, but you stood up in resurrection, new life. We remember when you told the ancient story in which the broken bread becomes your body and the wine of the Passover cup becomes your blood. When you turned the bread of human affliction into manna from heaven and the bitter dregs of sin into the cup of joyful celebration. So we await your coming among us in the fullness of your sovereign glory. We proclaim the mystery of faith. If you'll pray with me. Praise be to you, Holy Spirit, blowing through time to enliven your people, the church, to live as Christ's body in God's mystery of repairing our broken world. Come, hover over us now, and work within us in the breaking of bread and the celebration of this cup, that our eyes may be opened to recognize Christ among us and in all who share this feast. Knit us more closely together in the fellowship of your sovereign way. We offer ourselves, our lives, our resources to be your hands reaching into the world with your unfathomable compassion. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The breads at our table today are symbols of the many different peoples in the family of God. We offer challah bread It is used in Shabbat meals, and it represents the connection of God and people, and the links among people. We offer corn tortillas as we celebrate our relationship with our friends in Guatemala and the indigenous Maya people. We offer pita. This bread is eaten all over South Asia and the Middle East. It represents the possibility of unity between peoples. May we work for peace. And we offer a brioche. As we think about France, who suffered from terror attacks this year, and those in Louisiana parishes who are still recovering from the floods. All those who trust in Jesus are invited to come to the feast in which God has prepared for us. Today, we will take a communion offering. It will go to help with Weston's UMC's commitment to raise $10,000 to provide one-third of the salary for Open Table's street outreach worker, the resource navigator, that's her title, and she was wonderful and helps us connect with those in our community that are experiencing homelessness and poverty. Please give generously. Today we have a gluten-free option for those who need it. Please come to the lectern side over here and we will serve you there. The directions for taking communion are in your bulletin. Please come by way of the center aisle. Stay as long as you'd like at the altar and leave by way of the side aisles. If you need to take communion in your pew, we're happy to serve you there. So catch my eye or the eye of one of our ushers and we'll come. This is the gift of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. you will stand as you are able. And please join me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
Now I send you forth to do ordinary things with as much love that you, with God's help, can muster, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, whose love expands throughout the universe, Jesus Christ, who was and is God's love walking among us in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to walk in Christ's way, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace. Thank you.